So Andy, we're either right until we're wrong, or we're wrong until we're right. And I couldn't decide which one to go with.
I had a lot of deep thoughts about this. And I think what did you end up going with? Right until wrong?
Right until wrong, yes.
I think you chose the right one, because in our own minds, we think that we're right always, right? We're never gonna start off doing something that we think is stupid. We're gonna choose the thing that we think is right. So we're right until we're wrong, right?
But we
right? Right?
Hello and welcome into Sower Andrews here on the Sower Data Show. I am Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on Sower, joined once again by Andy Black, Black on Sower. Andy, what if we think we're right, but we're actually wrong?
Then we're still right until we're wrong, I think.
Is that
unless
like the Costanza?
Unless it's Sean looking at it from the outside and he's like, no, that's wrong.
Moron.
It depends. It all comes down to perspective. You know, like, you're the good guy in the movie. You know, you think that you're the good guy in the movie, but then, you know, as people are watching the movie, they're like, no, you're the bad guy.
Huh. Okay.
It's like
a little Batman syndrome almost.
Yeah. Like, you know, Vladimir Putin thinks he's the good guy in his own movie.
Oh, didn't know maybe. We were going geopolitical. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Toby says, I'm wrong until I get lucky, which I actually really like. Toby, Liam, and Bob on the podium. Tuggy, not even here. In a meeting.
One teardrop.
Who schedules a meeting for them? Anion said, finally, I'm in time again for a live show. I was wondering, what do you guys think about monthly rewards for Division I? No. I'm just kidding. I'm actually not kidding. I think monthly rewards are still a terrible idea. I know everybody wants them. Well, not everybody, because I don't. I just don't think they're necessary. Before I talk to anyone else, Andy, what do you think about monthly rewards?
I think it presented a really big problem on the platform where, you know, like, individual game week performances were not rewarded. I think we saw it a lot where people would pop off for one random week and then like not have a lineup for the next week or whatever. And, you know, you weren't rewarding somebody for podiuming them, like getting a podium one time. And I think that, like, that's bad.
So wasn't the first time that they did that in All-Star, didn't they do weekly rewards and the monthly? And then at the end, they were like, uh-oh.
I think that's right. Yeah. Which I think that's also bad, too. Like, they shouldn't do both, but maybe, like, podium rewards plus the monthly or something. But also, I'm fine them not doing it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just so used to the, at least competing for a reward every game week, that a monthly thing, I don't have the patience for that. Can't think that far ahead. Anyway, back to this. Sopsy says, we're right until we're wrong, then we buy more to make it right the next time, which actually might be exactly what I should have said this was all about. Simo, what's up? Mike Bastin. When were we right? I must have missed that. Yeah, that's fair. Nils, we're just not right yet. Yohannatin, Red or Dead 69, Aaron, so legendary. Skosmo, I'm always right. I mean, if there's somebody who could say that they're right a lot, it's Skosmo, Mr. Divisions himself. Mike said, I thought it was a stupid asking my partner out when I first did. Turns out I was wrong. See, yeah, I mean, two wrongs, maybe one wrong can make a right. Is that, I don't know. Daniel Shaforkel, Novelty, what's up? Yohannatin, do we need a progress bar?
Oh.
We haven't hit that one on the bingos board in a while.
It's been a while. We can bring that back
in. In a minute. Ben Johnson, what's up? Surface, hello. Here we go. Toby said, what about a monthly reward as an extra reward to incentivize playing your best lineup in Division I? I don't know, guys. All about monthly rewards from projecting lineups. Yeah, there you go. Do that. Anthony, hello. Little Jim Nance, hello, friends there. So, Andy, I wanted to discuss this because the strategy idea that I talked about last Friday And we've talked about it a little bit since then, and you think it's absolutely nuts, which it still might be. And when I was just about to say, like, I haven't really implemented it yet, I realized I did basically three steps towards it literally this week. But when do we know it's a really bad idea?
I'm trying to think of what you're doing that I think is absolutely nuts.
Sorry. Let me, and for Andy and everyone who isn't, my idea was essentially running the same lineup.
Universities,
that one. And your response was less that you thought the idea itself was bad, but more that the downside was just soul crushing. And you're like, I don't want that. And I don't think you're wrong on that part, but I also don't think that necessarily makes it a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, I do it in a few spots. Like, I have guys in multiple scarcities, like especially my St. Louis City guys.
Right.
But, I don't think I would only ever do that. What if my team plays on Friday and my entire weekend is cursed? Like, I don't need that in my life. I need a little hope, Laird. Little hope for Sunday night, a late night Santos Laguna game where they're away to Monterey. But guess what? There's a little bit of hope that maybe the stars align and I get that nil-nil that I've been dreaming of.
We all dream of, yeah. Yeah, I don't... So I think that the scope of a full So Rare lineup... that's not... how am I going to phrase this? Like, I think that if you ran the same lineup, like in contenders, let's say, like you always have challengers and that's different. You could have like all your challengers. So maybe challengers is Sunday night and you have that. Like, I think it's not necessarily just running like one lineup in one competition.
Sure.
In different scarcities. So there's still plenty of room to have lots of cards that will kill you later in the weekend as opposed to killing you on Friday.
Quantas. So, sorry.
That guy got me a reward this midweek, actually. So how dare you? Despite the number of lineups he's just murdered in my life. But I appreciate that the downside is just, I think it's literally soul crushing. But if I did it, like, at what point do I know it works or not? Like, does one victory mean it works? Like, bad strategies and bad lineups work sometimes. And then those people think, they're like, oh, this is what I should do. Play five guys who are going to come off the bench and score goals. And you're just like, I don't think that's optimal. And they were like, I just won. So, like, how do you know?
It's like a really philosophical question that you just asked me there, Laird. And I think that the only like reasonable answer is like at the end of the season, if you win more money than you spent, but I don't know. That's a tough one.
Why is it even like, why is it, what about the single season makes that the time frame?
Well, you're not even doing this in season, right?
No.
Yeah. Then I think that question's like completely unanswerable.
So does that mean I have the safety, and Johanna just said, imagine having multiple Mattsons this week. I have four of them here. And he'll not play. Although Toby's right. He's back in training. So if it's completely unanswerable, I can't be wrong.
I guess. Yeah. Like it was, buying Santos Laguna cards was the most absurd thing, but it doesn't matter because like all of the unanswerable variables have definitely worked out for me. Like we went through a boom and those cards won things then. We've since like went into a massive dip, and the cards are still probably worth what they were worth when I originally bought them. So like buy Santos Laguna cards. Yeah. Plus EV.
I mean, they were good when you first bought them. No?
They made it. So when I first bought them, they made the playoffs. They lost their first game in the playoffs, and then I didn't have utility for like 3 months. In classic SoRare fashion, they released those cards the week before the playoffs.
Right.
It's like these new Napoli cards. They're granted they've already had them licensed, but it's like they come out with five or six or seven games of in-season utility left.
I think you guys, and it was Surface who also brought, who was like, they have no utility. You guys are completely missing that they are significant collection boosters. Mm. Like, you're not buying these cards for now. You're buying them for next season to dominate Classic with your 16% cards.
Okay.
15%. You gotta see the big picture, guys. Come on. It's not just about in-season cash. Anyway, Ben said 5% collection stacking is the best strategy, in my opinion. I'm never waiting for a score. My lineup is active for 90 minutes, and then I know if it's good or not. Helps to have a better SoRare life balance. Why would you want a life balance with SoRare? This is life.
I know a lot of people don't like what Ben does, but I've got a few like full stack teams that I play, and it's probably the most fun viewing experience watching five guys play in the same game.
Haber said something similar recently.
Yeah, it makes it really, really fun to watch a game.
Yeah, but there are 13,000 games a weekend. Why are you only limiting yourself to one?
Well, that's why I got so many different teams, Laird.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, okay.
I'm setting 30 lineups or 25 lineups or whatever it is.
How many lineups are you getting out recently?
It's something like that. I don't know, 25 or 30 or something. I don't do a lot of the limited stuff. Which maybe I should. I don't know. You can probably get in for pretty cheap now, but especially
you don't play you don't play your leftover rares in limited.
I mean, I try to but usually goalkeeper's an issue, and then it's also like they're the goalkeepers I didn't play in any of my rare lineups, so they're usually pretty damn bad.
Yeah.
Like, guys definitely giving up 3 goals, and then it's like almost what's the point, but.
Yeah, I will say that I have considered buying a bunch of limited goalkeepers, and it feels like back in the day when we needed more goalies for training, and mm-hmm. Because like I have way more outfield cards that I don't want to, that I am not using in my top 25 lineups, that I'm like, oh, maybe they can win limited contender Division 5, and I don't have a goalie.
Yeah, I definitely think goalkeeper is a position that I want to just continue accumulating more and more of. Just with the complete reliance on clean sheets or near reliance on clean sheets, just having more options to play matchups is better. I used to be really efficient because they're easy cards to sell, but just having an abundance is nice.
Ben says he has 22 limited stacks on 4% or higher.
That's insane.
Feels high. Feels high to me. Anyway, KB said, just a bad thing when you stack your favorite teams, then you're angry that your team lost and also that your lineups are dead, speaking from experience. Just don't stack your favorite team. Just stack another one. Maybe one out of Denmark. Who knows? Anyway, although then they become your favorite team.
Like Daniel Copenhagen? Said,
what's that?
Copenhagen.
I am working on a Copenhagen stack, actually. Daniel said, team stacking and collections was a fun way to start playing SoRare, but I'm now transitioning to any card that will help me compete. You know what's funny, Andy? So Daniel started with team stacking, apparently. A fun way to start playing SoRare. If only there was some sort of free-to-play onboarding game that also encouraged stacking that then just rolled right over into SoRare. Huh. Imagine if they thought of something like that. Anyway.
Is that part of your speech about how Rivals isn't for Sean?
No. It's actually more that Rivals is a significantly better onboarding tool than people give it credit for.
Yeah. I actually agree with you. Like let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah, fuck Sean.
People poo-poo Rivals as being an onboarding game because what are the reasons? Like it doesn't actually, it's not actually like the game. It's not pro. You can't play people from multiple divisions or teams. It literally is not the game. It's a different game. But I think the biggest reason I think that it's a good onboarding tool is it gets people familiar with the matrix. It shows people what players are good in the game, like not just center forwards. You want the attacking midfielder, the defensive midfielder that takes sets. You learn those things playing Rivals. Hopefully you can bring that into pro. Now, whether like Sorare is marketing Rivals in that way, I mean, at the beginning, it felt like they were pushing it towards us.
Yeah.
I guess it was to us to share with our friends.
Yeah, I think they needed us to play it to make sure it worked.
Yeah.
No, I think people who, like, if you only played Rivals and in like Premier League match Rivals, and you're like, yeah, I'll buy this card. Yeah, I'll buy this card to make my Rivals lineup better. And all of a sudden you have five. And they're like, hey, you can play these in Champions or in Premier League. And you're like, oh, cool. Let me try that. And you're buying Haaland in no time. Anyway, Novelty said, maybe this will be covered in another stream. But nah, we'll do it right now. But do you think the in-season comps pay too little? In-season comps seem to have crashed, such as Carlos Hill, Cucho, and Acosta in Rare. Andy, I have a very simple reason why that's happened. Do you?
Because Gil sucks and Cucho hasn't played.
Not where I was going, but that's fair. No, I think the reason why these cards crashed is because the humongous 100,000, was it 100,000? 150,000 MLS competition is over.
Yeah. That's so a big part. Also, the first like mints are going to sell for more because people are like playing. It's like the advantage of having like the only, although having a Gil in season card is not a big advantage because he sucks, but putting him into but like being the first one of the first people to be able to have him into a team is there's an advantage mm-hmm. there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the early mints were always more expensive. And then when it was coupled with this gigantic opportunity to win way more cash than normal,
yep.
people were paying to get those. And then when that ended, naturally people are going to want to get out of those cards.
I don't know about get out of those cards. Like I bought a bunch of MLS end season cards to play in those competitions, but I'm not getting out of them. I'm not buying more though.
That's fair.
That's fair. A big part of it is there's less buying pressure.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. But I do think that there are people who spent early for MLS cards to play in the special weekly and are now selling those cards to play the K-League and J-League ones. Because mm-hmm. like those are the biggest cash tournaments that we have
yeah.
in every scarcity. So I think it's what's going to happen from now on. Charlie said, Rivals gets slandered because a majority of the community can't make money from it. It's funny that it's a majority of the community. Is anybody making money from it? But anyway, Rivals is great for what it is.
I think it's still not great for what it is. They can do more with it, and they're not.
Yeah, yeah. Nanzo said, stacking is the new meta. It's probably the best way to play league-specific competitions, especially at super rare and unique level, which seems like something Nanzo would say to get other people to do that so that he could not do it and then just beat them.
No, that sounds like something Pranksy would do with like a Newcastle stack or something and just mop the floor with everyone else.
That's probably right. You're right. Do we know it's the meta because he's doing it?
Probably.
Yeah. Obviously said maybe MLS was a bad example as they're the cards I'm familiar with, but in season seems to have dropped across the board. Loot boxes seem more fun, et cetera, in comparison to just cash. That I will give you.
Boxes are fun.
Have
we not talked about this? Boxes are fun.
I refuse to talk about it until I won a card from one. But now that I have, we can talk about it.
What card did you win?
I won two of them, one of which I've already sold. I won a Jung Sang-bin, the dude from Minnesota, and I don't even remember the other guy.
The two I won this week, one was a super rare.
Hello.
Or were they both?
Excuse me. Well, hello there.
No, one was, one wasn't.
Oh, the other was a unique. I forgot.
No, it was Marcel Beefus. Plays for Hamburg. No, he plays for Karlsruhe. Karlsruhe.
The Marvins?
Yes, the Marvins. And then some Dino guy that plays in Croatia that I don't think I'll ever be able to sell his card. Maybe I can.
Isn't it great when you win a card and you are like, I will literally never be able to sell this card?
Maybe not. I mean, he does play a little bit, but he's missed like his last four games, I think. So
I won something called Mimarel Benita. He's a 19-year-old defender from Excelsior, who I believe are about to get relegated.
Nice. But the joy on your face when you saw that card icon pop up, you were like, let's go. And then disappointment.
To be honest, I wasn't even really disappointed because it was just better than another level up. Yeah. No, I was pumped.
Yeah.
And I was pumped. Yeah. Like, I saw the Sangbin one and I was like, cool. All right. Why not?
So we were talking. We talked before about them having more things available in the boxes, and our friend Skosmo had one of the greatest ideas I've ever heard yesterday.
So for full disclosure, I was very close to sending that meme of like the, I'm really sorry, or I'm happy for you, or I'm really sorry. I ain't reading that, but I'm happy for you, or sorry about that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. There were a lot of numbers and I'm like,
you don't even need to worry about a lot of numbers. It's as simple as this. Instead of winning a level up boost, you just win XP. So maybe you can win 1,000 XP, you can win 10,000 XP, you can win 20,000 XP, whatever. You have 3, 4, 5 different tiers of XP that you can win, and it's just an XP boost. So if you apply a 500 XP boost to a level 1 card, he goes directly to level 3. If you apply that to a level 19 card, you might just move him up a little bit. But the cool thing about that is you could still cap it to 3 on a card. But I know that a lot of people wait until you got to wait till your 18 gets to 19 before you use the boost, or you're being inefficient. But if it's just XP, then who cares when you use it?
A quick aside here.
Yeah. And by the way, that is Tuggy's idea. It's a great idea.
Which one was?
Everything that I just said. That's literally Tuggy's idea. Not Tuggy's.
I was going to say, wasn't it Skosmo?
Sorry. God.
Because I was going to say, the aside was, should Skosmo work for SoRare?
I mean, he might at this point. He might already be working there.
So when I read all of that, the comment that I saw from somebody was like, when would you ever use the small one? But I guess the small makes sense. Yeah. If you're on a lower level, because it could boost you like 3 levels.
Right. And the other cool thing that it does is you can get rid of the whole, I've got a rare boost, a super rare boost. You know how there's like 3 different or 4 different ones of those. It would just be a number and it wouldn't matter which card you applied it to.
It seems more fun. Like, yeah. There's strategy to it as opposed to like, let me just wait until level 16. And well, like, I think
there is strategy to the way that it is now. It's wait. The strategy is wait.
Yes. Well, I think that so other people have brought this up, and I think that SoRare may think this as well, but the whole like, is the 1.5% more you get now, meaning the 8 to 9.5, better to get that now as opposed to like waiting until it's level 6, 17. And that's not fun strategy. We don't want to do that. I did want to ask you, have you bought a card recently? Not on the auction?
Not on the auction?
Yeah.
I bought Paintsil from someone a couple weeks ago.
Did you, was that pre-boxes?
Right around, no, post boxes.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
If you were to buy a card now, do you think you would look to see if it's been boosted or not?
No way.
Me neither. But but also like we probably should.
Yeah.
Because you're like, if you want to buy this card, like, oh, I'll boost it 3 times. And you look and you're like, it was already boosted from 3 to 4 to 5. And you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
I was realizing that the other day where I was just like, huh, I wonder if anyone's actually looking at that. Because maybe you'll need it. Jimmer wants to raise the max level to 40.
One of the worst ideas of all time.
Do you know?
Only one person on this platform.
I was just about to say, Jimmer's got a make holding great again. No, I don't know. Ben said, I still feel like the boxes should have been 50% better luck next time.
I do think that there should be a number there where it's just like, go fuck.
Yeah. What's your go fuck percentage on this rare luck?
Yeah, just a middle box? Finger pops out of the box.
Do you think it doesn't slowly kind of like lift? Mike said another idea bandied around is you should use level ups on an in-season card to get a jump or to catch up on XP for in-season comps. I think it's just a waste.
Hey, what about a boost? What about a boost that for 1 week it makes a classic card and in-season card? That's a fun idea.
I'm in.
Yeah, let's go.
I think that's a really good idea.
Put us on the team. Come on. And I guess we'll bring Skazma along with us.
The one who literally invented the division system. Although I think M-Pen had a similar idea. But
yeah.
I like that.
And I agree with
cap the cards on X number of XP added instead of max. Cap the cards on X number of X. I don't know what that means. Cap the cards. I don't know. Pico's player said, I bought 2 Messies and realized both were max boosted up to 2.5%. That sucks. I want to believe that the infrastructure is sort of in place for that because the MLB, you have the 1 week boosts already. Aren't they 1 week? 1 game week?
What do the 1 week boosts do?
I think you get like a level boost for 1 week.
Oh, yeah. Something. I don't know. I click the button when I have enough points.
Right. The skip boost and submit. Yeah. No, I click.
Well, if I have enough caps or whatever they are, then I'll boost one of my players.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably absurdly stupid, but it's probably adds a couple points, right? I don't know.
I mean, probably not. Let me see if I can do this. Hold on. I'm just randomly clicking here. Here, I'll show everybody. So this is what it looks like for MLB. So then when you go to submit your team, you can use coins to boost any of these cards.
Click one to see what the percentage is.
I don't actually want... You think there's a
you can cancel out of it. So is that 10%? unclick
plus it. 5. What the hell does that mean? 5%? No way. Wow, yep. 5% boost.
Just for 1 week, though.
For 1 week. Ben could have just told us, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that in season. That's a tricky one.
Especially for Sora Data, right?
Oh man.
Imagine that.
I don't think we'd ever be able to do it.
Well, you could probably have a token or something that you applied to a lineup and just say, hey, let this one. Or honestly, what you'd have to do is you'd have to let people submit a lineup that broke the rules, which I think you already can in the lineup builder. So
Daniel's asking if you can boost everyone. Before I try it. Yes, you can boost the whole team.
No, you can only boost one player on the team. Right? Or you can literally
Ben is saying you can boost everyone.
Okay, that is crazy.
Hold on.
I always just assumed it was one. I've never boosted more than one.
Oh, no. Hold on. Yeah, it's just one. It's like taking it off.
Yeah.
Okay. That would have been crazy.
Worried there for a moment.
Yeah. we were going to have to sell up at MLB for this ridiculous rule.
How do you feel like MLB's going this season?
I didn't buy any cards to play the champion like cash contests. And so it feels the same as last year, but it's a wonderfully passive game.
It is.
And lineups take no time at all. I'm not just like clicking, I'm putting in some time, but it's a fun game. I almost never check my team during the game week, but I do stay up on it because my son checks it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the passiveness that you're talking about. It's more casual mm-hmm. compared to
totally.
Basketball and especially soccer. But I honestly really enjoy it. I think the gameplay is set up correctly. I think basketball's weird because I thought I was going to like it at first, and I kind of did at first. And then the more time that it lapsed, the more I hated it. And this year I got to the point of just like, I dreaded making lineups, and I missed so many weeks where I didn't want to do it. And I just didn't.
I skipped a few weeks accidentally for NBA. I think, so I like the NBA way more than baseball, but the game. So like, DFS NBA basically so rare followed it that it's totally a projection game
mm-hmm.
and it's been solved. So if you have good projections, you just plug those guys in and that's it. And that it's just not fun.
Yeah.
And like, I have all the Villanova guys. I would love to like play them all in lineups, and I like put them in. I'm like, this has no chance. And there's really no game mechanism to like make them have a chance.
Is it the fact that the NBA is not random enough?
Like, yes.
When you look at baseball, it's literally a random number generator. What happens? I mean, granted, you know, some players perform a little bit better than RNG, but like,
yeah,
most
except
of
no hitters.
It's like a sim.
NBA.
No. Like baseball is like
a
simulation. With
sure. Yeah. Where
it's just like lots of variants every game week.
Yes. Benson, I know this is probably the wrong place to say, but I feel the efficiency of the Sora Data lineup builder made it too easy. But like any lineup builder with projections, like, yeah, it's almost, there's very little nuance to it. And you can play around with it. Like guys who are projected, you know, if one guy's projected for 38 and one's projected for 37, like the outcomes are still quite vast, but it almost doesn't feel worth it to tinker much with the NBA. And so, yeah, it just feels like you should know right away in the game week how you'll finish, because projections are just so, I don't want to call them accurate, but the projections, the NBA or basketball as a sport is significantly easier to project than baseball or football. And so, you know, you have one random guy who scores two goals and like everything changes, or someone hits two home runs and you just don't get that in the NBA. And so, yeah, the game, it's not a fault of this so rare NBA game. It's just like, that's the way basketball is. And so, yeah, baseball, mm-hmm. I find the base, like Sora MLB, more fun while also being significantly less time consuming.
Right.
Yeah, it's a, like, I think Sora NBA is a really good product. And it has not made me watch baseball at all.
You mean Sora MLB is a good, MLB is a good product?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it's, like, granted, there's probably issues on whatever, the market and prices and whatever.
Sure.
But, like, from an actual game design and everything, it's pretty well done.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think, I don't know if I find So Rare Football to be so time consuming that it's, like, a relief that I can play baseball casually and still be fairly competitive. Like I do have like some decent cards, so I'm not playing with like horrific cards. And I bought a ton of cards in the first season and literally have not bought cards since then. And I am the leechiest of leeches when it comes to So Rare MLB, which is maybe why I like it so much. But like,
nobody's a leech. Nobody's a leech in MLB.
But like we were talking like Fear My Turtle and Mike and McGee, like they're doing well and they bought new season cards and they're just like, yeah, I like this. I like it. So I'm playing it. And it doesn't feel like that many people play NBA because they're just like, I like this game and it's fun. Right. Like the NBA, you almost can do no lineup building before an hour before the deadline. And even then might not be enough time.
And I think that's the biggest issue for me is A, I don't enjoy it, but B, the lineup building needs to occur usually between 5 and 6 p.m. my time. Well, that's my commute. So it's like when I get home, I have to rush to do that. Well, when I get home, I want to see my family, see my kids, pet the dog. Yeah. Don't have time to like immediately go downstairs. I got to do my NBA lineups.
It's the reason, like the same reason I never really got into NBA DFS is the reason why NBA, So Rare NBA is so hard. Like for me, it's 6 to 7 and it's like, I have dinner. I have my kids going places. Like, I don't want to be at a computer. Like,
that's like prime family time.
Yeah. And like, if you miss something, you're dead. Like, that's how it feels. And the increase in scarcity made the rewards so less rewarding. And the market credits, like they made me hate market credits because it was like, congratulations, here is something you can use to buy more cards, but only a little bit.
Right.
And it's like, all right. Like I did use them. I bought some of the special edition, I'm more likely to buy So Rare NBA cards and not play the game because I just think it's cool to like own some of these like guys who I know and like, and yeah, like I can play, I played a lot of the special competitions that they have. So for those who don't play So Rare NBA, they've had special competitions kind of throughout the season. They're basically special weeklies, but they require a couple new season cards. And they had these like Christmas time special edition cards, and I bought a few of them from my favorite players, and like those allowed me to play these new comps. And yeah, Surface said NBA sucks because the most important variable for success is praying someone ahead of your low level guy gets hurt. That's how I've gotten half of my good finishes. So I actually, it's funny that he's like, that part sucks, because that's actually, I think, the best selling point for So Rare NBA, that your tier 5 could become like extremely valuable in 2 weeks, 2 months. Like those, when you get tier 5s in football, you're like, I am never using this card ever unless you're Jimmer. And what did Tuggy call them the other day? Was it Tuggy? Bot food.
Oh, bot food. Yeah, that's a
great name. which is like, that needs to become like standard nomenclature. But like that doesn't happen in the NBA. Like I won cards where I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. He's played 3 minutes his entire career. And then all of a sudden, and it's not like I think that's the benefit and problem with projections, that like, I would have never played that guy until I go into the lineup builder and it's like, oh, he has an L10 of 6 and he's projected for 39 tonight. And I'm like, okay, slap him in.
Yeah.
That's all. Victor said, I got an MLB TV subscription from So Rare, which is fun. And I find watching your hitters super exciting. I think the gameplay diversity between football, MLB, and NBA make playing all tons of fun. Yeah, I agree. I just
watching your hitters is fun, but honestly, watching a starting pitcher go is fun, and especially if you and relievers too. Like if you have a closer coming in, because it's worth so many points, and they only got to get three outs. That's another lots of fun little sweats in baseball. I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. like I said, look at Christian Brown last season. I have a Christian Brown like that, or I think I did. I don't know if I still do. I don't know. Surfer's saying most of my good finishes have come with playing tier fours, fives with okay projection. Then after lock, someone ahead of them goes down and they go off. It's just dumbins. So I would make the argument that more times than not, those guys, like that stuff is known before lock. Like maybe you found out about it after lock, but it's usually before. Not always though. But that's kind of the fun thing about NBA, that you can have like bad rewards can turn out to be like great. And it happens so rarely in football and even MLB. Like I feel like when you win a lower tier guy, it's just, yeah. But yeah, I think the biggest problem that So Rare MLB has is figuring out who to target to bring into play. And I was actually going to do a show with two guys that I worked with at RotoWire that are like hardcore fantasy baseball players. Like they go to Vegas for these like big money drafts and like they're really, really, really into it.
Do they play DFS or do they play like year round fantasy?
Season long baseball. They do both, but it's okay. Like, These high money leagues are season long, like weekly lineup ones. And I think that there's a thought that like, oh, let's just go get those guys because this is fantasy baseball. And I think you could sell them on the idea of it, but people who've played the same fantasy baseball game for 20 years are not going to stop playing that and start playing something else. And, or just
why not
add something else? Well, they're, If you're in your 40s and you've done something for 20 years, it's really hard to stop somebody from doing that to do something completely different.
Okay. I think it hits so many different notes. Have you talked to these guys about it at all?
Yes.
Yeah. And what's their initial feedback?
Like they get it. Like the concept is actually quite easy. The easiest thing to do was not lead with, are you into crypto? And so once I was just like I think So Rare is somewhat, I don't want to say it's known in fantasy baseball circles, but there are enough people who like know what the idea is. And so you're just watching, like,
they must have been watching MLS games. And
yeah, they were watching, they were watching the Inter Miami Columbus. Yeah.
And they got the MLB ads. It happened. Right.
And to be honest, like So Rare sponsors like a ton of stuff on MLB Network. They never say what it is. Actually, so one of the guys that I was going to talk to about on like stream with, we are good friends and we send each other Christmas cards every year. And he took a tour of the MLB Network studio. And there was a picture on his Christmas card of he and his daughter, like behind the desk, you know, people like do that sometimes.
Yeah.
With a gigantic So Rare logo, like on the desk. So I see this and I'm like, wow, like there, it's working. And I was like, I sent him a text and I was like, that's crazy. There's a So Rare logo like on your Christmas card from MLB Network. You know what his response was?
What the hell is that?
I had no idea. And I was like, no, that's great. But that's the worst thing. It's just this. There's no So Rare anywhere. So people just see it. But
wait, so that's the logo that they have in the MLB office? Is a soccer ball?
Maybe this is an old one. Maybe, yeah, this... Maybe
that's the new, isn't that the new logo?
No, the new one is more,
more puckered.
Yeah, no, this is the old logo. Sorry. Here, this is that's the new one, which also has nothing to do with baseball.
Yeah. I mean, they still have a soccer ball underneath the baseball guy.
This, yeah, well, that, yeah.
Yeah.
This one here. That's old. But anyway, so I, like, they get the idea of, instead, like, because they do, like, auction leagues, and it's basically that. Like, you pay to have that player on your team for a season. And so rare is, like, you buy that card. And now, granted, other people can have the card because of the scarcity thing and whatever.
Right,
but
right.
The concept of buy this card and he's your player until you don't want it anymore. And they're like, yeah, I totally get it. I'm like, what can you win? And it's like, more cards. And they're like, so I just entered... I just spent
cash. Five.
Right. Well, before this season,
right,
it was like I usually spend $5,000 to try to win $100,000. If I spend $5,000, it's so rare. Like, what do I get? And I'm like, more cards. And they're like,
yeah.
Can I? So maybe this year is different because there's more cash up for grabs. But I think they. Convincing those people to play fantasy baseball somewhere else is difficult. And so if you can't really go after fantasy baseball, like existing fantasy baseball people, like who do you go after? And I feel like there's this idea that they could do it with on the football side too. Like, no, we're not going after FPL players. We're going after football fans. And you're just like, but fantasy sports is just different. Whereas like here, fantasy sports is very much a thing. But like, I don't know enough people who like love baseball and have loved baseball and never tried fantasy baseball and been like, now I'll try it. So that's the hardest thing, I think. Anyway.
We just talked about baseball for like 20 minutes.
There was some NBA in there too. Is there anyone left?
Everybody left. They're like,
Giannis just said, enough of the so rare talk. Have you tried halloumi yet? I have not.
No, I guess I need to see if I can get it at a local shop.
Surely you can.
Surely? What's the origin of a halloumi? Like, where is that from? What, like a Greek cheese?
Oh, that was like a cow? I don't know. yeah, I think it's Greek.
Is it? Okay. Cyprus.
That's Greek. Yeah.
Greek, right?
Cypriot.
Same thing.
It's very close, yeah. Yeah, sorry to everybody who came for a regular So Rare Andrews and walked into a full So Rare conversation. KB said, I just joined, so I'm fine if having this baseball talk, if you continue to talk for an hour. Looking for food, I said, I tried to convince my mates who still play fantasy football from the newspapers that have been around for 30 years or so. Yeah. And Ben said they got me while I was an FPL player. That's funny. Concept of like got me. Like they just ripped him off the street. You're so rare now.
Did you play at any of the DraftKings version of So Rare? Rainmakers.
Rainmakers?
Did you do any of that?
I couldn't. Like, legally, it was banned in my state, so. I don't.
Funny story, I was playing a poker tournament 6 months ago, and I was sitting at a table with a guy that had a Rainmakers shirt on. I was like, oh, cool, you play Rainmakers. He's like, no, they sent this to me. It's like, oh.
So, all right, then. Not only that, I do not play Rainmakers, and I have two Rainmakers bags, two hats, and two shirts. I have more Rainmakers stuff than So Rare.
Interesting.
So it's funny because the concept of Rainmakers, like, I get it, but I have essentially given up on the NFL. Like, my full-time job for years was revolved around the NFL, and the more... This is going to sound weird. The more football I did, more soccer I did, the less I paid attention to the NFL. And leaving RotoWire to go to So Rare Data was like a final push off to the NFL. Like, I'm done. And so then it was like, hey, Rainmakers, NFL. And I'm like, I was just really comfortable not paying attention to the NFL anymore. And so it was me not playing Rainmakers was more about the NFL than it was about Rainmakers. And the other options of like I've never been into UFC. And so I don't see myself ever getting into it. So that's out. And golf, like, I get it, but I'm not going to care enough. And so like, if they had sports I cared about, I would probably play. The irony of Rainmakers, like every time Rainmakers comes up, it reminds me of the show that Maxime and I did probably a year ago now, when we were like, hey, this is what Rainmakers does. So Rare might do this at some point, where it's like, you have your in-season contest and old, yeah. And everybody was like, you guys are nuts. Like, you're totally wrong. They would never do that.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy is it turns out they did it, and they still made the classic competitions as good or better than the cash side. So they found probably a pretty good balance there. I still think that there's things that they can do better, but
I think the path makes sense now.
Yeah.
Of getting people, yeah, of not fully relying on new, like, you are an example of somebody who has been involved in SoRare for years and continues to buy new cards because of these competitions. Like, if it didn't exist, I don't think you would be buying them.
So, I probably wouldn't need to, right? I wanted to ask you this earlier, and it slipped my mind, and now it's back. Do you think there is ever a possibility of SoRare getting licenses for NCAA in any way? Because the reason is, you get that 4-year turnover from a business perspective. I think it would be, like, bar none, it would be like the best thing that they ever did. You'd have players cycling in every couple of years.
So because of where they are and where those athletes are, I don't think DraftKings would ever let anyone outbid them for that license. So, like, I would assume that Rainmakers gets a college basketball and college football license way before SoRare. And I hate to put it this way, I think SoRare's success with MLB and NBA would make them be like, nah, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
It would be awesome though.
Yeah, it would be.
But again, like, I think a majority of SoRare users wouldn't care. Like, a lot of people watching right now who are like really into football, if they were like, hey, we have college basketball, and they're just like, okay.
Yeah, I think it would open the door to huge new avenues, potentially.
Maybe. Yeah. No, I think it would be really cool. I will say, actually, on the Rainmakers SoRare thing, for some reason, and maybe it's just the way that the products were marketed, I've never considered Rainmaker cards collectible.
Yeah.
And it feels dumb because, like, SoRare cards aren't really like collectible, but
right.
I did buy, and maybe it's like an NFL thing that I just had no interest in, but like I have bought NBA SoRare NBA cards because of the player. And I'm just like, I want to own his card. And I literally never felt that in Rainmakers. And it felt like Rainmakers was like 100% a game that you just buy these cards to play in the contest, to win your cash and like move on. And I just never felt that way. Or I never felt the collectible side from DraftKings. As weird as it sounds, because like SoRare collectibles, like we all laugh at the idea, but I have bought cards because I thought they were cool collectibles.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the reasons I asked is like with the NIL deals now, players could maybe get money back on percentages of their card sales or something. I don't know if that's possible. But also minor league baseball, I don't know if there would ever be you would think that partnership would already be there, but I guess it's not and may not ever happen.
Yeah, get us Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
I think the
NBA is next, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest difficulty that they would have with college is just like there's no players association and having to like deal with 300 schools or thousands of athletes. Well, and just
look at how EA Sports dealt with NCAA. Did you see that? They gave every college athlete or every college football player $500 and a pair of shoes, I think. Something absurd like that.
Yeah.
And I think it was an opt-in as well. Like you had to opt into it.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Of course. Mike said he just won a Frank Kaminsky rare. Shout out to University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Just get the Big Ten. Daniel Cooper said Pranksy might pay more for a unique Caitlin Clark than her entire salary next season, which is probably true.
It is crazy. She's gonna do just fine. She's gonna make a ton of money on all of her endorsement deals and everything. But looking at her salary for the upcoming 3 years or whatever, it was just like,
yeah,
what are we doing?
What are we doing? She probably made more last year in college.
Yeah, for sure.
I was particularly upset. This is going way off tangent here. Villanova's best player last season is transferring to Iowa to basically take Caitlin Clark's spot because she's gone now. Anyway, Daniel said, I should not be getting paid more than she is. That's madness. I mean, Daniel, maybe you're very important at work. I don't know. Why did she not take the $5 million offer from that rapper? She might. Who knows? I don't think she specifically said no. I don't know. But yeah, so back to the question. I don't think SoRare would. I think SoRare's, and I'll put, I said success before, but maybe lack of success. I think their experience with SoRare NBA and SoRare MLB would stop them from trying to go after more right now. And so, I don't think DraftKings would get outbid on that. They're pranksing this one and just be like, nah, I'm winning that one.
Yeah. So no WNBA for us.
So it's the same problem as the NBA game though. Like
I wouldn't play it.
Would you play if they had like NWSL or WSL, like if they had women's soccer and women's football leagues like over the world, would you play if it was separate from the men?
Probably.
Like I totally would. And I'm not like big into women's football. Like I you know, I'll watch the national team and I like kind of know where everyone is.
I think more so to get my kids involved and interested. Less so.
Use your referral code in a couple of years. And
what's that?
So you can use your referral code in a couple of years to get them signed up.
Yeah. Yeah. 5-6 years. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I would totally be into it. I would be much more interested in, what do they call it in England? What's the women's league called? WSL came in my head, but I was like, there's no way they call it soccer. If anyone in chat knows, but like, I would be much more interested in following that. And I apologize to everyone who is going to be offended about this, but I'm following that before I'm waking up to watch the K League and J League. Like, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same. I think NWSL has a pretty good opportunity there too, if they ever wanted to go after that.
Super League. It's not a
Super
soccer.
League.
Yeah, it is a Super League. Black is creating a self-sustaining economy with his kid.
Of course.
That's why we had to get rid of thresholds.
Yeah, what do they call that? Generational wealth? Right? Yeah. And their kids too.
Oh, that's right. Because you were first, do you get to get the grandkids on your referral code, or do you think they get their kids signed up? And they're like, sorry.
I think so, yeah. I think that's how that works.
Generational I think, I'm enough Sororized to follow any more products or sports. I don't think there's enough current users to support more products either. It's not about us. It's about new people.
But yeah. That always seems to be the problem, is bringing more people in versus more of the people that you have getting more. Like there's two different things there that we've always been kind of battling.
Glenn says, in my firstborn son, I leave my Sporting KC stack. Amelia will still be goalkeeper when I die. Well, Daniel says, finally league. The Chelsea are good. And shout out Sam Kerr.
The coach is leaving, though, isn't she? She's coming over here.
She coming back?
I thought she was coming to U.S. Women's National Team.
Sam Kerr?
No.
I was like,
the Chelsea coach.
Oh, I was like, I don't think it works that way, Andy.
Yeah. I think it works exactly that way, though. It doesn't really matter where you're born.
I think she's played enough for probably with her down under guys would be really pissed if we tried to pull that move off. Server said they haven't shown any ability to massively bring in new users quickly in years. They need their current user base to support any new endeavors, at least initially. So I totally agree with you, but there are many more existing users, I think, that would be interested in women's football than NBA.
The disrespect to Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, come on.
Surface. That's a good point. Cutco knives don't keep getting money from ambassadors. Anyway. KB's looking for esports. Shout out to League of Legends.
That kept you going. Kept you going through the pandemic, didn't it?
Literally. Yeah.
Surface is right. We need to find the next Gary V. Who is the next Gary V?
It's Pranksy.
Ooh.
Pranksy is everything we wanted Gary V to be. He's spending boatloads of money on this site. He's out there tweeting about how great it is. Hey, use my referral. Look at all this money I want. You can win too. I mean, that's what we wanted Gary V to do. And instead he was like, hey, let's go Mbappe and let me buy this Joao Felix. And then he just disappeared.
Yeah, the problem is you know, Gary V's got like 10 million followers and Pranksy's got like 200,000 or something.
But I bet more people have used Pranksy's referral code than Gary V's. And I bet it's
really?
I bet it's not.
Oh, remotely. Referral code, yeah. But how many people came to the platform because of each person? Not necessarily referral codes.
Okay. Maybe.
Dan Cooper's right. We need Elon to get involved. He could be the next Gary V. Yep. He could say that he's going to allow you to display your Soccer cards on your Tesla dashboard and people are going nuts.
Rickman saying, how much do we think Gary V got from Soccer? Isn't he an early investor in Soccer?
Yeah, I think he was part of one of the investment groups.
Yeah, like one of the early ones.
Like Alexis Ohanian was in one of the groups too.
What is his manager name?
Which is the Serena Williams connection, by the way.
This is Gary V's.
So absurd. Now, the fiat price he paid on these, where is that in relation to what those cards are worth now?
Well, let's see. Mbappe, 9, 17, 18, I'll give it. Why did he get this one for 3,000? Anyway, 20 grand, 21 grand for the mess for the Mbappe rares, which are now worth 6 grand, even 5 grand. Joao Felix,
took a little haircut on us. He's in this for the long term, though. You know, give it another
10
or 20 years. Hey, I think in 20 years he can finally sell that Joao Felix and buy the Jets. Because that's his goal, right? Gary V's
goal is
to buy the Jets. So,
how about Zora letting Gary V win the Joao Felix unique? Where is the ambition? Anyway, that is a good point, Gary V. So, how about this? if you totaled the amount of money spent on SoRare from people who found it because of Gary V, would that be more than the amount of money Pranksy has spent?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. There's a lot of boomers out there.
Ben Johnson said, me and Gary V won the same amount this midweek.
Did Gary V have fun, though? No. He was just making angry armadillos and whatever. They're stuffed animals now, I think.
They are, yeah.
He's gone all in on that stuff.
Yeah. David Alves said, Drake missed the Wemby unique card. I remember early on, I don't even know if they had started Sober NBA yet. Like, it had launched. Maybe it was. Maybe they had gone. But I remember there was a whole thing of, like, what happens to So Rare cards if someone like Drake was the example. Like, what if Drake came in and bought the whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, man, like, he, Drake was So Rare NBA's Gary V Hope. And
so Drake, let's actually talk about that for a second. What would happen? It would create a massive amount of money coming onto the platform. There'd be a huge boom and then probably a huge crash with lots of unhappy people. Lots of exit liquidity for people. probably wouldn't be, I mean, it would be good in the short term, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Ben said, he'd sell at the peak. I mean, that'd be what a lot of people would be trying to do. Like, I'll be honest, if there was a huge, if Drake came on the platform and millions of people came on, I would be looking to exit out of a lot of cards.
Remember when we were all going to exit out when they brought the Prem on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking back at that, the whole, like, when Prem, and everyone was like, that's when we'll boom. And the number of people were like, that's when we'll be rich. And it was like, are you going to sell? And they're like, oh, no, no, no. But, like, our cards will be worth more.
Yeah. David said, who cares? We are still in here after the crash. I mean, yeah.
Was there a crash? Andy, what do you think about this Wemby Top Shot thing? The Wemby Top Shot unique going for more than the So Rare unique, and that they did a Dutch auction on it. Blind Dutch auction. I thought it was a blind Dutch auction. Excuse me. Was it just blind bidding?
What's a blind? All right, I need explanations here. So I know Dutch auction is it starts at X number and then it declines until somebody bids and wins it. What's blind Dutch auction?
I don't think it's a blind Dutch auction. I think it's a blind auction or a Dutch auction.
So a blind auction is like
everybody just submits their bids without knowing what everybody else is.
So like when I go to a trivia night, that's a blind auction. I bid on a basket.
Right. Exactly.
That's a very American thing. People overseas may not get that. I'm actually kind of curious if people know what that is. But...
Sorry, I'm trying to send a message to my friend Mike Zakarian here who would know. Yeah, server said he thought it was just a blind bid, so you don't see the others. It was $150,000 was this Wemby moment, which, Andy, I learned after seeing this Wemby moment that it's not a moment at all. It's literally just a Wemby highlight reel from his first game. But it's like highlights of all this stuff. There's some video, cool video stuff in his entrance. So it's not actually a like single moment, which apparently they've been doing. Mike said he believes it was a blind auction. Did we find out the bids after that?
I don't know. That whole platform is still weird to me. I'm shocked that it still exists. And that's not me like knocking it in any way. It's just I'm legitimately surprised that that many people are still like engaged with it and interested. And I guess it's good that it's doing well. I guess
so.
I don't know. Maybe it's not doing well in it.
So well is very much not what's happening.
Right.
They have introduced like a fantasy game part actually, I don't know if Top Shot did it themselves or whoever the hell, what's the main company? Dapper. I don't know if Dapper does it, but they have like a daily, it's almost like a prop. So it's like today's, you need to get, if you have moments of five players and they have to get 38 rebounds. And then if they get more, you win some, I don't even know what you win, but, yeah, I'm full-fledged noob when it comes to Top Shot. Noob actually implies that I have any interest in it. I have no idea.
Right.
Yeah. But I do know that this moment, which was considered unique, and actually, I don't even know if it could be considered a moment since it was like a bunch of things. I don't know what they called it. But this Wemby unique went for more than the So Rare unique. And so I think we're dead.
We're not back. That's for sure. We are not back.
Nope.
Top Shot's back. We're not.
So it's funny. So when I asked Mike, like I was talking to Mike. So Mike Zakarian's over at Team Hole. They used to do a ton of Top Shot stuff. And I was like, I literally said that. I was like, so Top Shot's back. And he was like, no. But this is cool. I was
like,
yeah. ZM Star said, "You, Laird, you just explaining that sounds like the dumbest thing I've ever heard." I may not have described it accurately.
He did. I haven't seen it though, so I'm just assuming you did.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. But there continues to be like nothing, and this is going to sound somewhat offensive. There's nothing about Top Shot that makes me want to be a part of it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So I don't.
So looking back in retrospect, are you happy with the title of today's show?
Sorry, I had to take a quick second to even remember what it was. Yes.
You think it did this discussion justice?
I think the discussion we had in the first 20 minutes, it was justice.
20 minutes.
Was it that long?
I felt like we talked for about an hour about basketball and Top Shot and NBA. Yeah. And women's sports.
Maybe. I think so. I've gotten some feedback recently about this show. I tend to get more on the positive. Like, there are many more people who are like, no. Oh. Before I go into that, I'm at the bus stop the other day with my daughter and this humongous bird that I've never seen before.
Oh, flies by. Here we go.
And I was like, it flew away too far. Like I couldn't get a great picture, but I wanted to be like, I literally looked down and I was like, that's a cool bird. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally Andy Black here.
Hey, Andy, the cool and that's, bird. That is, that's the normal human reaction. Hey, that's a cool bird. Look.
Yeah, that was it.
That's fine. That is a fine reaction.
You know what it was? It was like dark gray and it landed on somebody's roof. And so it like blended into the, and I just like couldn't get a pic. I was so angry I couldn't get a picture.
And here's the difference between a bird nerd and what you just did. A bird nerd says, oh, look at that interesting quail. Let me snap a picture. And they take a picture and then they upload it onto their phone app that saves all their bird pictures. And I automatically identifies it for them. I would never.
KB said, I have that reaction when I see cows or horses. I will say that once you have kids, you start doing that. When you're just like, hey, horse.
Yeah.
For no reason. Anyway, what were we talking about before that? This show, whether it was good. Oh, the feedback I've gotten. Mm. So the number of people, so there was a comment on the video from last week. That was like, I kept fast forwarding to get out of the bird conversation and I got to the end and I'm just like, yeah, sorry. Like that happened. I didn't say
that's kind of a deal, man.
But I read that and I was like, yeah, that's just kind of what happens. But then the other comments are just like, this is my favorite bird. Have you guys seen this? And like, so it's a give and take on this show. But I will say, I think this entire show was actual until this conversation was about So Rare.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Little bird talk, just a little bird talk.
ZM Star said, we had bald eagles where I live and I get jazzed every time I see one. I would too.
just gets completely jacked, just jacked up when he sees a bald eagle.
Yeah.
It's like, let's go! USA!
I gotta share that picture. Hold on. Gator guy bought Messi. Hold on. So we were talking about this with Gator guy as well. And when we were talking about so rare, so birds, is that what we called it?
Yeah, I think so.
Here we go.
So that California condors at his local zoo, that actually sounds like something Gary Vee would create for Vee Friends, a California condor.
Oh, that's exactly, yeah. The biggest flying birds in the world. Oh, actually, I'm not even going to get into that right now. It's not, nor the time, not the time, nor the place. But where is this picture? Here we go. Sorry for those who are just sitting here waiting for me to do this. Is it not going to work? Hold on. Oh, all right, here we go. So we were talking about KB. Would you buy this NFT? The one of one bald eagle, red, white, and blue. This is the future.
What position does he play?
Attack.
the red, white, and blue feathers kind of
right.
Even better, don't they?
Right. So a nice summary of this show right here are the four tabs I have open on this shared screen. Gary V, FC, So Rare Data, this eagle picture, and Halloumi. Oh,
that covered it all.
Eagle is a defender because it defends our freedoms.
It's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
America.
Anyway, shout out to Gator Guy who works some AI magic on this. Man, that is a bad.
He literally typed four words into ChatGPT and got that. So,
it might have been like six words. But he had to know what words to use.
Yeah.
That's all. Anyway, enough of that. Thank you to everybody for joining. Surely you can like the stream at this point. If you're 77 minutes in and you haven't liked it, shame on you. But yeah.
Join us next week for more Bird Talk.
Yeah. come back for more Bird Talk at some point. We'll get there. So, thank you, everybody. Shout out to Quinny. Forgot that part. And, I'd buy a shoebill bird NFT for sure. That thing is menacing. I would buy a shoebill bird. What is that?
I'll look it up after this.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. Stay tuned. Come back next week to find out what a shoebill bird is. And thank you everybody for coming, and we'll see you around.